listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, last night, Washington beating the Giants. Last second field goal set up by a penalty. We'll get Dave Preston, WTOP, on a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. Nothing quite as exciting as Thursday night football, even when it's played really poorly.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, it's exciting that it goes back and forth, but what was your grade level for the actual play of the game?
Well, you know how the NFL has gone to just three preseason football games this year and 17 regular season. But I think last night we did discover that, yes, the league is playing a fourth preseason game. And unfortunately, I don't know if it was a combination of, and I'm not a fan of, I'm okay, and I understand the fact, yes, Thursday Night Football is here to stay, but I wish the league, when possible, would let teams play Thursday Night Football coming off a bye, because otherwise you have teams that are overworked and underprepared. And in the 21st century game, where it's even more violent than it was 30 years ago, as far as just the collisions that players need to recover from and the complexities, it's a lot more complex now than it was in 1985. You need a full week to properly prepare for a game, and it's akin to having an undercooked chocolate chip cookies or souffle, and it's just that the batter is not done on a lot of these games.
I agree completely. You know, you hit the nail on the head. It's something that if you're around a team, covering a team on a daily basis, then you really understand why guys don't like these games. That when you see the rhythm of a week, what these guys go through on Monday and or Tuesday, and usually days off on Tuesday, but when they come back, how much they're banged up and hurt, and everyone's dealing with a nag here or there, especially late in the season. These Thursday night games, you're 100% right. Until you realize how disruptive of a week that can be preparing for these short week games, you don't really get it.
Now, week one and week two, I think week one, obviously, there's nobody playing in week zero, and with week off, Thursday Night Football works. This was actually, I thought this could work from, an aesthetic standpoint, because you've only played one game, and you're not having teams go cross-country. Giants are having to come down to, D.C., which it's not that far of a trip. So if there would be a week two Thursday night game that I think wouldn't stink from not preparing or what have you, it would be this one. Unfortunately, the Giants and Washington, they bring their own sort of stinkness that isn't even involved with short weeks. I think it was we had 11 penalties for the Giants, 9 for Washington. Teams were a combined 8 for 25 on third down. You had dropped passes. You had misexecution. It wasn't the most beautiful game last night.
Taylor Heinicke, I liked his play against Tampa. I get bringing in a veteran in Ryan Fitzpatrick, but where does he stand? I mean, it's one thing to be like, well, you're the starter because of. Was he given a fair shot, like, to be the starter after last year's playoff game?
I think he was, but I think the idea was they needed to have somebody in who was more of a proven quarterback, because you look at his sample size, very small. He had not started a regular season game for the Burgundy and Gold until last night. He had, I think, one career start that was in Carolina, so he does have the experience working with Ron Rivera and offensive coordinator Scott Turner, but he doesn't have they don't have a lot of proof that he can manage a team during a 16, now 17 game season. So no matter how excited they were from whatever flashes Taylor showed them last year, they needed kind of, I guess, somebody in the room who they thought, okay, if Taylor Heinicke doesn't work out, we at least have a solid veteran. Unlike a few years ago when, after Kirk Cousins left and after Alex Smith got hurt, they went with Case Keenum and a bunch of tomato cans and got roasted.
Yeah. Overall, what did you think of his play? Had the bad interception, but he looks like a guy that wants to make the big play so badly that sometimes I wonder if that's a handicap for him.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting seeing how he fares against Buffalo, because it's one thing to, if you're an understudy, it's one thing to step out on stage that first time. It's another thing to step on that stage the next week, and you've had that preparation. And then now there's more tape on you out there. Now there's, now they know more of your tendencies. And it's akin to a rookie in Major League Baseball coming in and Sam Horn having a hot August. And then the next year they're like, okay, this is what he does. And instead of hitting, you know, 30 homers, he's hitting 205, and he's out of the league within, you know, 2 or 3 years. I think, yeah, I like what I've seen in Taylor Heinicke. Is it a long-term thing for this franchise? I don't know. They have a lot of other issues as well. Against the Chargers, they had issues getting off the field. They didn't have those issues last night, but and penalties at the most inopportune times. It was more of a problem against the Chargers, but there are a lot of other issues. The quarterback is just one part of this machine, but the fact that he wasn't absolutely awful last night, that's a good thing moving forward.
Yeah, I was blown away with Dexter Lawrence's offsides, because I was thinking to myself, if there's one thing you don't want to do on a 48-yard field goal is go off, let the guy try to kick it. You know what I mean? Just like, say, if he beats us with a 48-yarder, he beats us with a 48-yarder, but I'm not giving him another shot when 5 yards closer.
Right, and I mean, the thing is, too, is that Hopkins has had issues all throughout the preseason. He was missing longer field goals. He missed a 51-yarder this past Sunday against the Chargers, and that was a situation set up by, there were three flags against Washington in a five-play sequence, one of
right.
which was not setting penalty. So in a one-possession game, instead of Washington attempting a 41-yard field goal, they attempted a 51. He missed. And it felt like on many levels the Giants were trying to give away this game. Nobody tries to give away a game. But the fact that was it Darius Slayton's drop,
yeah.
And there, that was just – I think I heard Troy Aikman say something along the lines of, well, William Jackson was looking for help there. And it's like, yes, he did have help, Slayton's hands. And then that interception, the fact that not only – it's not that the Giants had to settle for a field goal, but the fact that – Washington got the ball back before the 2 minute warning.
Right.
When I'm sure Jason Garrett's a very nice person on many levels. I'm sure he's wonderful to hang out with during the holidays, but he is not, I'm not sold on him as an offensive coordinator with the Giants personnel. It felt as though when you get that, when somebody fumbles like that, yes, your priority is to get the points, but also burn off a ton of clock. And I think if there was a minute left as opposed to two and change, and maybe, you know, another burn timeout, because you would manage the plays a little bit better, Washington doesn't get even, you know, near, you know, downfield in position to get a game-winning field goal.
It is so early, so there's so much football to play. But right now, today, Friday, after a Thursday night game, what does this win mean for Washington? What context do we put this in?
It keeps the dogs off of Coach Ron Rivera and company for not bringing in a better quarterback. And it means that, you know what, this team's not 0-2. The last time they had made the playoffs when they were 0-2, I think, was 1984, when that was when Joe Theismann, and that was an 0-2 where, if you look at that season, they lost to Miami, who wound up winning the AFC that year, San Francisco, who wound up winning the Super Bowl that year. So that, even though they started 0-2, that was 0-2 with a caveat. I'm going to say that if they had lost last night, yeah, the Giants and Chargers might not be in the Super Bowl this season. I think this, what this does, Tony, is this gives the team a little bit of breathing room to develop as a squad, because if they had lost last night, they'd be 0-2, 0-1 in the division, and with another loss to Daniel Jones, a guy who, if you look at the numbers, he had owned them until last night.
No, he did.
He was
4-0 right.
Against the 4-0. Not only that, but he had a passer rating of 100. He was garbage against the rest of the league, but awesome against Washington. And then they would have to go to Buffalo, a team that has Super Bowl dreams. You could easily see this team starting 0-3. And teams do make runs into contention after starting 0-2. 0-3 is so much more of a tougher hill to climb. And this also puts a little bit of positivity in that locker room, in that in those meeting rooms. It's always nice to be able to trust the process, and you in anything you do, you have to trust the process. But if part of trusting, it's always easier to trust the process when you see the results work in your favor. Occasionally, like last night, they can go back and say, you know what, we have a lot to do, but there's a lot of positives that we can draw off of our win against the Giants. And, you know, moving forward, this is not a good division that they're in. There's no, they won it last year with a 7-9 record. I have them going 8-7-2 this year, heaven forbid. Hey, last year I had them going 6-7-3. So this team is going. What this means is they are going to be, barring something disastrous happening, this team is in this division slog for the long haul. Philadelphia looked really good in week one. And you'd never know with new head coaches, with new quarterbacks, starting in a full season. But Philly might be too good to catch. But there's if not, and I have complete confidence in the Eagles, not playing well. This is going to be feels like a long 4-month race between four teams that really aren't good. And if they had lost last night, it would have been a real torpedo to their hopes.
It's true, because I think there are other teams in this league. Look, they all say we want to win every game, and we believe we can win every game. We get it. But there are teams like Washington and New York. If you have an opportunity to win a game, you better win it, because there's not going to be a ton of them on the schedule this year.
No, and the thing is, too, is last year when they made their run, it was against a lot of backup quarterbacks. Even their first win in that stretch came when Cincinnati had lost Joe Burrow to injury. And then Dallas, it was on, I think, option, what they say, go with plan B. Dallas was maybe on plan G at the time.
Right.
And you looked at who they beat down the stretch. Philly, even in the last game, kind of, put their game plan in the fridge to allegedly get a better draft pick. But that would never happen, because the NFL is all about integrity. But so this year, Washington is going not. Their schedule is much tougher. They have a first place schedule. They're playing all four quarterbacks who were in last year's NFL Final Four. So the schedule is much tougher. They might be a better team than they were last year, and still might be around the 7 or 8 win level. And even though that might, last year it was good enough to win the division, that's rarely good enough. You need 10, 11 wins to realistically think that you're going to win the division.
Dave, always good catching up with you, my friend. And I knew, like, to this game, I was like, I got to get Dave on. This was too wild of a game not to have your input. So thank you so much.
Oh, just like 2020 was the craziest decade I've ever experienced. Last night was the craziest, week of, it felt like 3 or 4 games in one last night.
Oh, it totally was, completely. Dave, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
You got it. Dave Preston, WTOP, on our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. More Wake Up Call when we continue on Sports Map Radio.